The following podcast has language and mature subject matter. Parental discretion advised. You're listening to Daddy Issues with your host, Matt Fuller and Race Cooper, a podcast about older gay guys talking about whatever.
Hey, it's Matt Fuller.
Hey, it's Race Cooper, but friends call me Coop.
And welcome to
Daddy Issues.
It's been a year.
We've gone 365 days, Matt. 365 days on lockdown. 1 year anniversary of Daddy Issues.
You know, when you're 1 year old, you're still shitting your pants.
Maybe. I was potty trained really quickly. I don't know about
you. Okay, if you're white and entitled.
Right.
Whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
That's our show in a microcosm right there.
Pretty much. We started this almost 365 days ago.
And the pandemic was supposed to be over long before that.
Right. And we kind of went into this. I think we went into this podcast. I don't know about you, but I feel like I was naive and like thinking how long we'd be doing it, how much impact it would have on us, who we'd be booking for guests. I don't think we were thinking about guests at any point. I'm not even sure we'd think about guests at the beginning. I don't know. What do you think, Matt?
As you may recall, I was super concerned about what this was going to do to our friendship, because having a podcast sounds easy and it is insanely hard. It's essentially running a business. As you may recall, like when we started this, I was super concerned about the impact this would have on our friendship, because having a podcast sounds easy and it is a lot of work.
Right.
And people approach podcasts in very different styles. And having been through this with some people in the past, I'm actually amazed that we're still speaking to each other.
Well, I mean, we've had some ups and downs on this, definitely.
It's been close.
It's never been really close. I mean, we've had arguments, but I never felt that I was losing a friend through this, right? You know, we've had conversations where we're like, well, you know, the podcast is a problem, fuck the podcast, right? Better off as friends. And yes, your concerns about, you know, how this would affect our friendship is valid, because it's a tough road. And to do that in a way that you don't step on each other's toes, and that you validate each other, and that you can work with each other for a common goal, that's really tough. And I'm amazed and honored, and I feel blessed that we've been able to do this for a whole year. We started this podcast because we wanted to do something together, because we weren't sure how much time we'd be able to spend with each other. Like, it was like the day before San Francisco, I think, initiated that they were going to lock down and that you wouldn't be able to go out at all. And so we were like, oh, we can't hug each other. We can't see each other. What are we going to do to communicate with each other? How are we going to like be able to spend time with each other? So I thought, hey, let's do a podcast. Let's see how this goes. Because, you know, we have fun when we talk.
And I have a completely different take on it.
What's your take on it then? On how this started?
My take on this is that as my trainer, you were sick and tired of my amusing conversation eating up time in the gym. So you were like, if we're ever going to get Matt on schedule with his workouts, we're going to have to turn his comedy routine at the gym into a podcast.
Oh yeah. So you needed more sparring to really like hone your skills of comedy.
Well, no, it was more about trying to take it out of the workout so I could actually get a workout done. Because you're like, stop talking, Matt. Stop talking. That's not funny. I don't care what you have to say. It's not interesting.
And yet still you're frustrated during the workout when you're not allowed to talk.
Home workouts are hard.
No, they're not. You love them now. You don't even want to go to the gym anymore.
Well, at home workouts have a lot less germs. I love that. And true. The commute is awesome.
Yeah, the commute. I gotta admit.
Showers are clean. No questionable people trying to touch me in the shower.
I gotta admit that my consistency of training is better having a home gym, because even though I could lift a lot heavier at a gym location or establishment, just having some weights around at home made me more consistent in working out week to week, because even if I didn't have a little time, like I was really busy in a week, I could just block out like 30 minutes to an hour just to do something at home rather than trying to commute to the gym, not having that time to do it, get back, shower, right? That whole process was took a lot longer and a lot more dedicated time for. And having a home gym plus a normal gym is still kind of like even better. So,
and you know what you need if you've got a home gym? Barf bands.
Oh, you mean blood flow restriction bands? Yeah, they help.
They're awesome. Yeah. I took us on a tangent about my workouts. Back to being back to being grateful for this podcast.
Okay, so the other thing that I'm grateful for in this podcast is how many podcasts we've done. We've done 37 episodes in 1 year. That is not something to sneeze at. We've done a lot of work into this. And because of that, we've surpassed about 20,000 downloads on all platforms. We're listened to
20,886 exactly. Not that anyone's counting as of this exact
right, because
moment.
You like the numbers. We got to remember you love the numbers.
It's going to be and awesome when it's 20,888. I love it when numbers make patterns.
We are listening to mostly in the United States, but we have listeners in Mexico, Germany, Canada, Japan, Brazil, like all over the world.
Brazil.
Yeah, Brazil. We love Brazil.
Most unexpected from my point of view.
Really,
I wasn't expecting
unexpected
the Brazilian listeners.
That we have we started this kind of like world following. That's amazing.
Your body's been naked in gay bars across the world though, so is it really that surprising?
Yeah, but they're listening to me talk about like racism and disability. Like it's not the same thing as watching me stroke my dick or put a dildo up my hole. Like it's not the same exact thing.
You know, I go on a vacation. I walk into a gay bar, some random European country. There you are, naked on a screen.
Yeah, it's a blessing. You should enjoy. We were gifted back in December new podcast equipment for my birthday. So it was really great because my husband's best friend, Matt, who listens to our podcast, decided that we needed more equipment. I'm not sure if that's like a slight or anything, but in some ways we benefited from it, that we got brand new microphones and mixers and sound equipment to make our podcast even better.
I think that's what we would call a dialectic. I love your podcast. And make it sound better.
Exactly. So thank you to Maps for the great podcast equipment.
Hey, Matt.
We love you so much.
We love you.
I'm glad that you listened to our podcast. I feel really blessed to be able to do this podcast, ask the questions I can, book the guests that we do, and have an amazing time doing it. I've had the biggest laughs I've ever had doing this podcast. We've been able to talk about subjects that I've never been able to talk about, like out in the open, let alone in a podcast. And the amount of personal growth I did not expect. So there was so much personal growth with me that in dealing with racism, racist issues, in dealing with my porn past, in dealing with family aspects of my own history of like domestic abuse and child abuse. So there's just a lot of growth that happened through this podcast that I didn't expect to have, as well as like self-reflection, like lots of self-reflection on the reasons why I might do things or the reasons why I might respond to things a certain way, and give me more pause to reflect on them and to do better.
I really like the way you're making this sound like it wasn't your pandemic hookup plan.
No, not at all. Totally not.
Oh, so I'm the shallow one.
Oh, yeah, totally. Okay, totally. I mean, cool. We booked some hot guys, definitely some hot daddies, but it was really, but come on, there's some times where, you know,
hold on. We booked hot guys on an audio podcast.
Right, exactly, right? Which is in itself, like, what are we doing? But the subject matter we've gotten to talk about has been really helpful, like really helpful to our listeners. We've got a lot of fan mail about it. Also really helpful to us because it's something that helps us really make sense of a lot of questions that we've had through the response of our guests, who are very knowledgeable on certain subject matter, or just been in discussions of dialogue with each other and just fleshing out subject matter. It's been uplifting in a time that has been so hard, and it's been something that has changed me a lot in the way that I operate and I talk to people.
The last year has been, I'm still standing, you're still standing, that's the accomplishment.
Yeah.
I basically veered from high to low to high to low.
Okay.
And when I was optimistic about things, things were cool. I had like some really dark patches last year, and it has been a frustrating year. Very frustrating in many ways. And there are parts of being a hobbit in my cave that I really like. And then it turns out I actually do kind of miss people.
You're so a love bug.
Stop it. What was the favorite topic? You've mentioned a lot of things that we talked about. What was your favorite topic?
My favorite topic on the podcast. I think people would probably assume there'd be racism because it was good. But my favorite topic, I think, was disability awareness with Andrew Gerza. I think that was the favorite topic because it was one of those things that in LGBTQ culture, we just do not discuss enough. And it impacts all of us more than we think. And it's part of a community that we do a disservice to in not recognizing its value and in including it at times. You know, you got to be the person that would ask the awful questions, while I got to reflect on history that I've had with helping those with disabilities. And still, both of us had a lot that we both learned through discussing that topic with Andrew Gerza. So I think that was my favorite topic. Definitely.
Read the room, Fuller. Read the room.
Read the fucking room was a good line. Read the fucking room.
There's a lot of guests that we had were awesome. And it's hard to separate the guests from the topics sometimes. I have to say, landing Keith Boykin from CNN was pretty awesome. I also have to say, having Trip Richards on to talk about transsexuality and biphobia was also really, really super awesome.
Yeah. Who was your favorite man crush that appeared as a guest?
Yes.
Yes, well, there was a lot of them, but who was your favorite?
Yes. this is a no-win question because there were a bunch.
Okay,
well, maybe have you scrolled through our discography or whatever collection?
Yeah, no, we have a lot of hot guys that we've had as like man crushes that have appeared as guests on our podcast. But I mean,
such an understatement. I mean, Court Vox,
Trip Richards,
too. Tom Ernesting,
right? Tom Ernesting. We've had Michael Brandon Clark. We've had Dirk Kaber. We've had Boomer Banks. You know, we've had a ton of people.
Marlon Scott, Danny Nguyen, Andy Matic, Ron Matic, Juanita Moore, Adam Russo, you know, Rich Burns, Trevor LaPaglia.
We've had a shit ton of hot guys. It's that's a question that even us as host is hard to answer that one.
It's an unfair question, and the answer is Michael B. Clarke.
I can't settle on one because there's a lot of man crushes that were in there that I booked because I was the booker.
great. Make me settle on one and then be like, oh, I can't.
Okay, I'm going to settle on one. I'm going to say Trip Richards.
Boom, there it is.
Yeah, Trip Richards was my favorite man crush that we had. What was your favorite series that we did? So that was like a compiled group of podcasts together.
I mean, the simple answer is Michael B. Clarke. What?
That's a good one.
Right?
Yeah.
He can miseducate me anytime he wants to.
Yeah, the miseducation of Michael B. Clarke was a good one.
The White Fragility series.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Mine was Porn Brunch Club.
Who doesn't like brunch?
Right? It was brunch. So Porn Brunch Club, because we definitely dealt with racism, homophobia, HIV stigma, pressure, depression, suicide, like a lot of stuff that was in the porn industry. And it was really, really telling. It was good. It was cathartic, really, I think, for the group of guys, because they're all like friends of mine from my porn days. And it was kind of like we had like our own emotional support group. So it was fun. It was good.
it was eye-opening to see how racist the porn industry was. Mm. And for one moment, I was, you know, feeling like, wow, at least that's not my industry.
Right.
And then I did the work, and mine's like orders of magnitude worse than yours.
Yeah, yours is worse. I mean, porn industry just paid black people and brown people less, but yours just denied people housing.
Structurally,
for generations.
Not on a one-off basis. Yeah. We wrote it into the California State Constitution.
Isn't that revealing? Like, that's a great thing about us doing podcasts is that all of a sudden we're like, hey, we think we know something about the world. Oh, no, we don't know shit about the world. We had to do some research on this, and guess what?
So much whitewashing.
This series, I mean, the podcast series that we do is pretty educational. I mean, we were trying to make it just really kind of jokey and fun, but we've gotten some major education on here. And Keith Boykin was definitely one of the people that educated us the most. But who do you feel educated you the most?
White fragility.
Yeah, white fragility.
Reading the book.
Yeah, it was a good one.
I mean, it's always weird saying books about racism are good, right?
Well, I mean, if you learn something from it and it's not in a way that just puts you on the defensive, yeah, totally. I mean, books are great. I love books.
Oh, I learned a lot from it.
Yeah. I mean, and that was our first, like, libraries open kind of thing.
Yeah, it was the first book we talked about for sure.
Yeah. All right. What was your favorite old man rant?
Mitch McConnell, Mark Zuckerberg.
Ah, you got to pick one.
Are you sure they're not just one evil entity that's been split into separate bodies?
Well, one's an evil entity and one's just an android, so pick one.
Have you ever seen Mitch and Mark in the same room at the same hearing?
Right.
I don't think you have. Mitch McConnell's the more... Yeah.
That old man rant that you did on Mitch McConnell was really amazing. And we kept on being able to replay that rant again and again every time Mitch McConnell did something else that was evil.
I mean, it's unfortunate that he's the gift that keeps on giving.
Right. From my cold, dead hands. Okay, so what was
your favorite?
Yeah.
Did you have a favorite old man rant? Of mine? No, just kidding.
No. Of
you did one, right?
I did a few old man rants. My favorite one, I guess, that I did was probably Kanye West. Yeah. You know what? I'm going to take that back. I'm going to take that Kanye West was not the favorite old man rant because I think that essentially I did a gaze over COVID rant. And my gaze over COVID rant was actually more nuanced than that, than Kanye was. So I would say my gaze over COVID. Is that your favorite of what I've done?
Was that a rant or an episode?
Well, I mean,
yes, it was.
It was a rant. It was a rant.
And who says I go on?
Right. I mean, at least the Michael support was definitely like a rant.
Let it go.
Yeah.
Let it go. What was the most significant thing about this past year that changed you?
On a personal note, what was the most significant thing about this past year that changed me? Here's the strange thing. You know, I've always kind of thought of myself as a person with zero fucks to give. Definitely this year was kind of a period of time of like, hey, you know what? If we're all going to die, like there's no reason to be polite about stuff. And there's no reason to be quiet about the pain that you've suffered. And there's no reason to continue to try to hurt anyone. And there's, you know, it was a lot of things that built up with seeing police hitting Black Lives Matter protesters or a noose at the Capitol or people not taking accountability for the things that they've done and not safeguarding against COVID or spreading it. And all of those things combined makes you just want to like, this is not okay. This is not going to, this is beyond like partisan issues. This is on like me minding my own business. Like if you're not working for a common good, what the fuck? And I think that having this outlet, you know, for the podcast just kind of helped me to just be able to vocalize all the anger, all the frustration, and then connect that to like my own complete family and my own history of stuff. And it was just this amazing amount of being able to clear out a lot of the dark stuff that I kept suppressed or the pain that I've suppressed in this past year, because there was no reason to fear it or to hide from it. And allowing that to happen in this year made me be able to progress further in everything that I really wanted to focus on. I think that's the best way to put it, is that there was so much pain being seen that the only thing to ask for was to try to heal from it. So this was a really big healing year for me. And in this healing came new ideas for me and kind of like a real momentum forward for how I want to go in life. So that's the way I think that it changed me. Does that make sense at all? Like it's a lot to kind of try to explain.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's deep.
Yeah. How about you? What was the most significant thing about this past year that changed you?
White fragility. So reading that book was a really kind of eye-opening experience. And it just also happened to happen at a really interesting societal time when Black Lives Matter marches and protests were happening. And we read the book together.
Yeah.
So I think reading it as a white person with a person of color is a very different experience than reading it just as a white person.
But yes.
I only have my hunches to go on that one. The unfortunate reality is, you know, I recognize a lot of myself in that book and the situations and chapters that are spoken about. So that was uncomfortable. If I extrapolated, you know, from that, it was easy to see many situations in my life where if I wasn't getting what I wanted, I would employ the white fragility playbook, even if it had nothing to do with being white. Discovering this dynamic where behavior can actually completely distract from the underlying issue and shut down any conversation about it was very eye-opening.
Yeah.
Because it's a really manipulative move when you stop and think about it. And it's something that happens on the daily time and time again. If you look at the Republican Party, everything they've done for the last several years is white fragility behavior at the national level. You know, the Democrats are attempting to have a serious conversation about a $1.9 trillion rescue bill. The Republican Party, they're complaining about Dr. Seuss and reading Dr. Seuss books that aren't even being, you know, taken out of publication. And they're not being canceled, right? It's the author's family themselves saying, hey, times have changed and this isn't represent, you know, who Dr. Seuss was. And, right. You know, it's not
coming from the makers of that. It's not anybody else canceling it.
Right. That's a classic move to try and be like, distract the conversation. So suddenly we're not talking about the $1.9 trillion rescue bill. We're talking about Dr. Seuss. And you can look at that time and again, when there's a serious issue on the table, the Republicans would rather employ the fragility playbook, be like, this is too hard to talk about, this is too difficult, and P.S. Right, but, by the way, you wronged me over
you,
here.
But back to you, man. But back to you before this tangent goes on our Republicans.
What? That behavior, right? Like,
right.
It's almost when you discover something, you can't stop seeing it. Now that I discovered this dynamic, I notice it a lot of places.
Right.
So white fragility and that dynamic was definitely kind of one that was very eye-opening and insightful and has been a challenge. And then I guess the other thing that I've learned is that with the exception of me, pretty much every gay man has taken steroids and done porn. And
almost every gay man. Almost.
All of the hot dudes on Instagram that are like, hey, I've been working out really hard and look at how shredded I am. It's not because they're working out really hard. It's because they're juicing. And hey, if you want to juice. Like I know people that do. I'm not judging. I'm just saying it's really frustrating to compare yourself to people that have a hormonal advantage and then get down on yourself. So,
but does the porn, the fact that almost everyone's done porn, does that affect you? That doesn't affect you.
I don't care. All right. No, yeah. I could care less. No,
although everybody kind of assumes that you've done porn because, you know, you're kind of a sexual dude.
Because apparently I look like a whore.
You look like a porn star and you hang out with porn stars.
What does a porn star look like, though? Yeah. I think I just look like a disheveled daddy who needs better moisturizer, but that's just. I've been moisturizing. That's another takeaway from this last year. I've really committed to moisturizing.
Yeah, there you go.
I have.
Your facial game is going strong.
The chats we had on the show about body dysmorphia, those were enlightening and interesting. And apparently most gay men were either skinny or fat as children. And we had issues with it either way.
Yep.
Because the grass is always skinnier on the other side of the fence.
Of course, you know, puberty hits and, you know, and we're not able to have those rites of passage like everyone else because, you know, we're attracted to guys and we're not allowed to act on it. So, yeah.
I was busy studying. I didn't need any rites of passage. I had a quiz. I had A's to get and I got them.
Better than coming when you're a kid.
Hello. I still have my childhood report cards. Do you have whatever you were doing in your hand? Exactly.
Okay.
You know, you know what? One comment I never got on any of my report cards.
What?
Team player.
Not surprised.
I was always a strong individual contributor.
Working with me is torture then.
You said it. Jeez. I didn't say anything.
Now
like that.
Now I completely understand why we have this, why we have such a, we butt heads so much.
Mm-hmm. Right. Probably because you were Canadian. Was it like that socialist upbringing?
No. It was more like being like, poor Jamaican immigrant family living in Toronto upbringing, right? And, you know, not much and weren't given much. Don't ask for much. Don't touch that thing in the store, you know, that kind of thing. With that, you know, I grew up being the peacemaker and I learned how to be, even though like I was pretty isolated as a kid, I did learn by high school how to be a really good team player because, you know, I learned how to make other groups outside of my family. And that's the reason why I became better at doing it.
I had the opposite experience. Like, if I look back at my school years, I feel like I was more socially capable in the elementary years. And as the years went on, it just got more awkward.
Mm. Well, anyway, changing it around for 2021.
I have two words for you.
What?
Teddy Bryce. Ha, ha, ha.
He's a hottie.
He's sending me a shirt.
Oh, did he send you a shirt?
Yeah, autographed. And wow, let me tell you, their racism, their racism is costing them some serious Brexit.
Yeah, Brexit, right? That whole racism thing.
Well, I mean, if you put the Brexit together with what happened to Meghan Markle, I'm like, you know what? You guys have proved yourself racist through and through. Have a nice day. Bye-bye.
I thought you were going to maybe like just hang up Teddy Bryce shirt inside your man shed and not wear it. Just have it up there. A little bit of Teddy Bryce in the background.
I'm just going to wear it and never take it off.
Yeah. Get all the smells on it.
All the smells. I can't wash it. It's autographed.
Exactly. That's why he autographed it.
But I can still wear it.
Or you can just wait. Or we should wait till Teddy comes to visit us in SF. He's bound to visit us.
Why?
He's hanging with us.
Why? 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 Why can't I wear the shirt until then?
You can. Just don't wash it.
I'm not. I can't ever. I mean, I guess I could. Oh, I see your point. Because he could resign it. Is that your point?
There you go. That's my point. Yeah.
I don't know if it would be the same. Have you ever tried to sign over your signature? It never works.
It totally never doesn't work. Never works.
And that's even before we put it on a fabric and a fabric pen, which is just like next to impossible. Race Bannon was awesome. Yeah. The other race. He was way back, one of the early episodes. That was super awesome. Juanita Moore. That was super awesome.
Yes.
You gave good guest.
I've got a knack for booking people. I've got a knack, but thank you very much.
Should we explain the distribution of labor?
I book the guests. I also do the outline for the show. I write the scripts for it. Sometimes I might help out a little bit with post with like doing time code for promo clips for Matt, but Matt pretty much takes it from post on to edit the program and to make the promo clips. Interaction with both of us and deciding some of the subject matter. Generally, I will try to garner the pictures and bios for our guests beforehand and do all that introduction stuff for promotion. And Matt will get all the links that are needed for the transcripting. That's Trello. That's how we do it. We keep it very simple between us. We've actually got an even amount of workload between us. And Matt, if we can do this 1 year and make 37 episodes with 20,000 downloads, you know, sky's
it's
the limit,
all
man.
Downhill from here.
What are you looking forward to in 2021?
Reading the Western philosophical canon, starting with Albert Camus. Camus. I don't even know how to pronounce his last name. It's really annoying.
Who is that?
He's a French philosopher.
Okay.
His basic point is life is absurd, but you still, the gist of it being life is absurd and you still have to live it. Yeah. So when I am stuck in a completely stupid situation and I want to lose my temper now, I'm just like, life is absurd. Smile. Helps. Definitely help.
Anything else?
Humanity. Interacting with each other. That's going to be exciting. I am looking forward to, getting out of the house and seeing people in group settings without scarves and mittens. And I really shouldn't be complaining because San Francisco is warmer and a more mild climate than the rest of America. You know, I'm curious about what happens at the national political level. I would love to see Donald Trump and his entire family indicted on state and national charges for a variety of offenses that are actually crimes, mm-hmm. since being a horrible human being and racist is not technically a crime. I think we can catch him on the right. financial fraud side of things, just like Al Capone.
Right. Okay.
How about you?
I'm hopeful for, along those lines, investigations to everybody, because it wasn't just Donald Trump and his family. There's a lot of people involved and that led us to insurrection.
Oh, you know what is so fun?
What?
Listening to all of the insurrectionists cry from jail about how unfair it is.
Right.
I love it.
Totally.
It's the gift that gives every day.
Really looking forward to that. I'm really looking for Hague-level trials and investigations.
Do you think that you would be able to get organic food if you were imprisoned?
No, I'm black. Fuck no.
I mean, the white guy pulled it off. The, like, horned dude.
Of course. Because
like
the
I didn't even know we had a prison that featured organic food.
I hope he goes to jail for a long time and you can enjoy that organic food for a long time in jail, but stay in jail because you're just,
forever.
It's just useless. What else am I looking forward to in 2021? You know, I feel like we're going to have these roaring 20s that are going to be coming in just like they did. After the influence of 1918 and 1919, it's like we have the really roaring 20s. So, you know, people want to dress up when they go to the post office or the grocery store, and there's going to be like parties.
Wow, throwing shade my way already.
Hey, I'm just saying, that's what I'm looking forward to. That is what
I'm
looking forward to.
Are you saying sweatpants aren't dressing up?
Well, I'm saying that we've gotten comfortable with sweatpants. I think that, you know, I think we're going to change in our fashion with probably more fashion joggers, more leisure wear. It doesn't mean that we can't be comfortable because who wants to wear a belt again? I don't really want to wear a belt again. But at the same time, you know, I'm looking forward to people rocking different types of fashion. You know, I was talking to a neighbor. I said the thing that I really find really fascinating about this pandemic is that it's forced everybody to grow their hair out. Given the ability for everybody to not be cookie cutter in the way that they present their style. So everybody's just kind of going really different with different hairstyles. And I think that's amazing. And I'm kind of looking forward to how that's going to grow during the 1920s as people are going to be more about individuality and style than they are about conforming. The sex parties are going to be off the hook pretty soon.
That's his forecast. We'll write it down.
What else is there to look forward to in 2021? Travel.
Making fun of Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Oh my God, she makes fun of herself. She's ridiculous. Let's forget about that. But traveling, leaving the country, going to visit other countries.
I don't know.
It feels like
it keeps sliding and it's going to be a 2022 kind of thing. I just don't see people.
I don't know. I mean, I know people are starting to think about it as people get vaccinated. So, you know, I think travel will be will be possible, at least by the end of 2021.
My concern is that because we have stupid fuckers like Governor Abbott in Texas and the douchebag from Mississippi, that we will continue to have regional hotspots of COVID because they have loosened mask mandates long before the science says they should. If we've got regional hotspots, I'm still not getting on a plane, even though I plan on being fully vaccinated. Where are you going
to
go?
Mexico. I'd like to go to Paris with Tom, but I don't know when we're going to be able to do that. But Mexico would probably be the first one we'd probably go to.
Aww. Nice.
Oh, what about you guys? Where would you like to guys go, like to go if you travel next?
The realistic, likely summer vacation will be with our parents again. So Albuquerque right. and Arkansas.
Gotta hug the grandparents. They haven't had their hugs in a while.
Yeah, the plan is to find someplace, you know, within a day's drive that we could hang out. That would be an interesting spot to go. My mother is on oxygen. And there's a lot to be transported. My father is also in his 70s. He's super healthy, knock on everything. But it's a lot for one person. So the plan is probably to go out there and then head out as a group from Albuquerque. And both my parents in their 70s have had their round one shots. So it was super awesome. They both have had their first Pfizer vaccine. I can't wait for them to have their second shot.
Yay! Awesome!
Yeah!
Awesome. Cool.
Audrey Taylor Greene, still a horrible person. Worse than Marco Rubio. Worse than Joni Ernst. Yeah. Even if you believe any of her wackadoodle Q-nonymous things, the fact that she was willing to belligerently confront a teenage survivor of a school shooting and accuse him of making the whole thing up, that just so lacks in humanity.
So you're gonna save that energy for future old man rant on Marjorie, right? On Marge.
The more I ponder her existence, the more I find it absolutely appalling. No one from her office has yet been able to answer why they work for her. Because I've given up calling and asking that anything about Marjorie. At this point, I call and I'm like, well, why do you work for her?
What does she provide for you?
Like, why are you in the service of stupid evil?
Right.
Really? Could you not find another job? Is it that good of a resume experience?
I think it's more self-serving evil than it is stupid evil. I mean, it's not completely stupid. I mean, they're self-serving.
Anyone that would make fun of a teenage survivor of a school shooting,
yeah,
it deserves a special place in hell. That's all I have to say.
They don't want to be in touch with feelings or have sympathy or empathy for anybody. So the first thing to do is to pretend like the thing doesn't actually happen. Like people don't actually suffer from pain or are victims. You know?
It is such a base level of gaslighting.
Yeah. So it total base
so
level.
Like,
that's all Marjorie does. Is she's just a big old gaslight.
One year, man. Say something profound.
Something profound. Mr. Matt Fuller, I love you. And I think that even though this has been a tough road, that we have become better brothers by doing this podcast, and that we've become better people because of this podcast, and that we've grown. That's the biggest thing, that we've majorly grown in this 1 year like no other year in my life. How was that?
Wow. Thank you. I love you too.
Aww.
My family, we graduated our family therapy program as the lockdown was starting, February of 2020. The last year, it's been hard to tell if like the highs and lows and the challenges are because I'm learning to use a completely new skill set that I've never learned, or if it's just, you know, midlife feelings of frustration, which has been one of the interesting discoveries along these podcast episodes, watching everyone kind of deal with coming to that point in their life where what they thought and what they have experienced have diverged, deciding how to respond to that. And it turns out it's hard for everyone. I guess you could take comfort in that. It's the old cliche, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And there have been times over the last year where I think we genuinely thought about killing each other. And
like you could actually kill me.
That's not the point.
I would rise from the dead and haunt you forever. Ghost friends.
Groundhog Day. Over. 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 It's been a really interesting experience. I've liked it, right? I mean, even when it's been frustrating and a challenge, it's been worth figuring out a way forward. Yeah. Versus saying, let's just hang it up. You know, it's made me up my game on my other podcast. So that's been great too.
Yeah, I really love it as well because, you know, my writing had been dormant. You know, before this, I'd been a writer as one of my jobs and working in television and film production. And this podcast brought it out again. And it was great to have that, not just Twitter being an outlet to write, but this podcast being a way to express feelings and thoughts and philosophies and just a way to move forward in life instead of just, you know, being stuck in my head. And that was great.
Very well said.
Yeah. Thank you, my brother. All right.
So what do you're a teaser.
Teaser.
What do our listeners win for listening? What is coming up in the next year that they should keep listening?
Even more investigative, doing more research, I think. That's what's coming up in season two of Daddy Issues.
Are you Diane Sawyers?
I'm going to try to be a little bit Oprah, maybe a little bit of Diana Sawyers.
Maybe Barbara? I want to be Barbara.
Totally, Barbara. I think because we made a really good basis for interviewing guests and for discerning information and education through that, we're going to try to take it one step further and really kind of do our investigative homework when it comes to subject matter. And we've already tackled some hard subject matter, but we haven't tackled the hard stuff. So we're going to explore into roids, right? We're going to do an investigative on that and try to do a long series on that. And not just to do roids as a way to judge people for doing it, because like we've discussed in the podcast, a lot of people have done it. A lot of people have done it. Most of us as gay men have probably done it. To ask the questions of why do we do it? You know, how does it impact us? And then who is financially benefiting from the sales and marketing of steroids? And so that's a big question that I've had. Those are the big questions that I've had in my head. And I'm kind of wanting to do the research on that and find the guests for it and to really dig into it deeply so that we stop a lot of the misinformation and misrepresentation that's been out there for steroids that adds to so much body dysmorphia that we as gay men have.
My experience of this is when I attempt to discuss steroids with people, it's basically one of two conversations. It's like, yo, bro, bend over and let me shove a needle in your butt. Or steroids are a mortal sin that is cheating and will kill you and you get what you deserve, you bastard.
Right.
And I think that we're attempting to approach this conversation from a much more nuanced point, which is harm reduction.
Right.
Lots of people choose to do it. They, you know, some of them make that choice educatedly. Others just do it because, you know, their friends say, you know, show me your butt and I'll put the needle in.
Right.
You know, as a community, we're very concerned with how we look and have all basically, you know, decided to accept those trade-offs for youth and muscle.
Right. And it's made a big impact on the gay community, and we've got to not hide from this impact that it's made on us, and kind of really delve into it, and not be afraid to talk about it or to discuss our own personal experiences with steroids.
And also let's acknowledge that like that's not historically been the norm for the gay community.
Right.
Right. It hasn't historically be that, you know, you come of age, you hit midlife, you start injecting testosterone and other drugs when you go to the gym.
Right.
You know, so there are ways to be gay and a grown up and perfectly healthy with a perfectly acceptable and beautiful body that does not involve having to do anything to it with drugs.
Yes, it's true.
I really want Timnit Gebru, I hope I just said her name correctly, to be a guest on our show this year talk about AI, artificial intelligence, and race, and why it matters so much. I think that we've got an episode coming up that's a little bit about that around Instagram and thirst accounts. Yeah. And I think that it's, you know, an area that actually impacts all of us right now, every day, that we're not discussing.
Yeah. I'm agreeing with that too. That'll be another
super cool guest.
Yeah, to be investigative on and for us to do our homework.
I feel like we have a couple more thank yous.
What other thank yous do we have to do?
I got to say thank you to Fernando.
Ah, yes. Our phantom super producer. Helpful. Yeah.
Yeah. We should probably say thank you to Matt one more time.
Thank you to Matt. We love you. Thank you for the podcast equipment. You're making us pros. Making us pros.
All of our listeners, everyone who hit the subscribe button in their podcast app. Thanks for the love.
Everyone that's reviewed us time. And sent us all these great fan messages. We love you guys. We have a collection of all of your fan letters and messages and to us mail. Online. Yeah. And even some hate mail. We got a little bit of hate mail. But
You're a colorist.
You know,
when did you start working at a salon?
We know we're on to something when we finally got hate mail, right? we just needed one death threat. Just one death threat.
And you know it's legit hate mail because it makes no sense.
Thanks for listening to Daddy Issues. Podcast transcript and notes available at gaydaddyissues.com.